The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I appreciate that very much. You know, for many years, I was the music coordinator for the Magnolia State Competition of Christian Schools in the state of Mississippi, and people would come, of course, bring their entire Christian schools, and we would have competition, and I was over that. And what a wonderful blessing it is to see that our music is what it is. You know, you can sense that God uses that to speak to hearts, and I appreciate that so much. Fine, fine job. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them." A man among them. Didn't say two men, didn't say three men, didn't say four men. A man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. So God is saying, I want somebody that will stand for me for the land. He said, I'm just looking for a man, just a man. I'm not looking for two. I'm just trying to find a man that will stand up before me and for me in the land. The Bible says that I should not destroy it. Oh, and this is so sad. But I found none. You know, when I think of Father's Day, I think of men. I think of dads. I had a precious, precious dad. And I learned so many things from my daddy. And my daddy worked at Maryland National Bank, was a hard worker, and did a great job. And I learned things from him about organization. I learned some things from him about being able to be strong. I learned some things from my dear dad, and just watching him as he would take on a job and perform the task. I learned some stuff. I learned some things to do. I learned some things not to do. But I thank God that God gave me a dad, and that God put a man in my life that would be able to help and to guide and to be able to give me strength along the way when I needed it in my youth, in the early days of my youth. Now, I thank God for my father-in-law moving in with us, and I'm excited about that. Oh, am I so excited about him being here. I'm just so excited about that. Now, can I tell you, we all thank God for fathers. We all thank God for men. But here a sad thing is, he said, I sought for a man, and I found none. I did some research on Father's Day. It was in 1909 that a Mrs. John B. Dobb of Washington first proposed the idea of having a Father's Day. Mrs. Dobb wanted a special day to be able to honor her dad, William Smart. William Smart was a Civil War veteran, and as a Civil War veteran, he was widowed at the birth of his sixth child. His wife went home to be with the Lord, bearing the child, and Mr. Smart decided that I'm going to try to raise them, and so he did. He raised that newborn along with the other five children all the days of his life on a rural farm in eastern Washington State. He never married again, but he raised them on that farm. His daughter, of course, being the youngest, grew up and she married, and she always looked back at all the struggles that Daddy had, being a single parent, all the struggles that Daddy had trying to be both mom and dad. She noticed his strengths. She noticed that he had a selfless effort, a selflessness type of effort in trying to rear the children, and did a great job. So she thought, I want to honor my dad. So on June 19th of 1910, you see the first Father's Day in Spokane, Washington. She was behind the force of that happening. And then you'll see later on, various towns picked up on the idea as the idea began to gather, being something that was popular across America and was celebrated as Father's Day. 1924, President Calvin Coolidge was the one that supported it and tried to make it a national Father's Day. Then in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring that the third Sunday of June of every year would be called Father's Day. Now, I think it's great. I think it's a time where we can honor dads for doing a great job and honor fathers for trying to take care of their family and support them and to love them. But when you come back to this verse, could it be that there is some lacking Could it be that God is still looking for a man to represent him before him? In other words, stand before him, be a representative of him, it says, for the Lamb. You'd be surprised. You'd absolutely be surprised how one man could make a difference. You'd be surprised how one man could make a difference in the home. You'd be surprised how one man could make a difference in his residential area or where he lives. You'd be surprised how one man could make a difference in a city, how one man could make a difference in a state, how one man could make a difference in a country. You'd be absolutely surprised how God could take just one man. But now, let me give you some things about men that's been greatly used. I mean greatly used. And by the way, when I say greatly used, I'm not necessarily talking about a politician. When I say greatly used, I'm not necessarily talking about a pulpiteer. When I say greatly used, I'm talking about a dad that just does his part in being greatly used in his home. A dad that's there for his wife, if you would, as a husband, and for his children, if you would, as a dad. How is it that a dad can be more greatly used? What is it that a dad could do to be greatly used in the home? Now, let's look at some things this morning. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. On Monday, I flew out to the Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I flew there to be able to honor Dr. B.G. Buchanan, his dear wife, and of course, the children there. And I was surprised. And in a delightful fashion, I was surprised that about 50 preachers showed up from all over America that came to attend that funeral. Now, why? Because there was a man that we had in our life by the name of Dr. B.G. Buchanan that God raised up in the midst of us preachers, an older man, a more stately gentleman, if you would please, than we, and was able to give us some wisdom and insight over the years of how to help people and love people and encourage people. Now, can I say this? You see that Dr. Buchanan was a man, and as he was a man, he needed to rely on the Lord. Matter of fact, I wrote these verses here this morning thinking about him because of the fact they were his life verses, where the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding. Well, that'd be good for every dad. That'd be good for every dad to look at and say, I'm not going to trust in my own heart. By the way, the heart is deceitful. The heart is something, if you would please, if you rely on it, it would be the emotions that would carry you in a direction that you ought not even consider to go. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It would be good for dads to be able, statement number one, for men to be able to learn to lean on the Lord. Learn to lean on the Lord. Now, what I mean by that is this. I believe that men ought to learn the truth about salvation. Understand that it's salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing. It's only Christ and Christ only. For a person that's going to a church this morning and they're trusting Jesus Christ in baptism, they're not going to go to heaven. For a person going to church this morning and they're trusting Jesus Christ and speaking in tongues, and that's what they're relying on to be able to go to heaven, they're not going to go to heaven. If a person's trusting Jesus Christ and keeping one of the seven sacraments, can I tell you, dear friend, that person will not go to heaven. If a person's trusting Jesus Christ and trying to keep five of the Ten Commandments, can I tell you, it's not going to happen. They're not going to go to heaven. If a person's trusting Jesus Christ and good works to try and merit heaven, they're not going to be able to merit heaven. No, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right? So we have to understand it's the very gift of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I learned about Jesus Christ. I'm glad that somebody took a Bible and showed me my need of receiving Christ as my Savior. When I did that at age of 18, it changed my life forevermore. Now, can I tell you, so men need to learn to lean on God for the truth about salvation. Don't make up your own way to heaven. Don't try to make believe that you believe something that's not absolutely true according to the scriptures. No. No, a person needs to understand salvation, and dads ought to be the one that teach that in the home. Dads ought to be the ones that, what a blessed ability to be able to know the truth, and that the truth will make you free, and be able to take that and give that to your children. I don't know how many dads have said this: I want to learn to be a soul winner. I say, why you want to learn to be a soul winner? They say, I want to learn to be a soul winner so I can lead my children to Christ. Now, can I tell you, that is admirable. That is admirable. It's admirable to say, I want to be able to be the one that shows my children the way of the Savior. It's admirable to be able to say, I want to be the one that shows my children the way to heaven. By the way, what a privilege it is to be able to take the Bible and show your children their need of Christ. Oh, you need to lean on Him for understanding the way of salvation. Understand the way of strength. You know, God gives us strength, and He tells us so. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 30, the Bible says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. Listen to it now. It says, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All right, so God says this. God says that we ought to, I believe I'm speaking to men this morning, that ought to learn to rely on Him for salvation, ought to learn to rely on Him for strength. You know, we ought to be the individuals that realize that we cannot make it by ourselves, but trusting in the Lord our God, oh yes, we'll be able to run. Oh yes, we'll be able to stand in adverse times. Oh yes, we'll be able to go forward and be able to soar like an eagle as we trust in God. May I say this morning, we ought to trust Him for salvation, trust Him for strength, trust Him for your supply. The Bible says over in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when we traveled many years ago, 12 years, we traveled in evangelism, and oftentimes we'd have needs in our life. And when we had needs in our life, here's what we did. We'd get down and we'd pray as a family, and we'd ask God to be able to come through and be able to supply. Now, why was that good? It was good because I needed God to supply. It was good because my wife needed God to supply. Oh, but it was especially good. Why? Because my children need to see God supplying. You know, it's good to be able to rely on the Lord. Oh, don't do this. When you have a need in your life as a man, don't hide that from your wife. When you have a need for your in your life as a man, don't hide that from your children. Don't do that. When's the last time, men, that you got on your knees and you prayed and your children saw you drop a tear? When's the last time you got on your knees and you said, God, if you don't come through, I'm through? When's the last time, let me challenge you to walk with God as a man? Let me challenge you to get in your Bible and read it. Let me challenge you, if I could, to be able to get out and do the will of the Lord when it comes to asking Him for your supply. Don't always be somebody, if you will, that's just walking along without God. Oh, don't do that. Oh, well, my dad's got all the answer, a child may say. Oh, my dad can supply, a child may say. Oh, my dad, he is self-sufficient. Oh, no, it ought not be that way. Your child ought to say, oh, my daddy, he walks with God. My daddy knows God personally. If my daddy has a need, I know that my daddy is going to go to God, and God is going to be the one that comes through, and God is going to be the one. By the way, there might be a day in your life where you can't supply. There might be a day in your life when your children need more than you. What are you going to do at that time? What are they going to do at that time? Only by the measure of the standard of you teaching them by your life will they rise up and live it. Will they rise up and live it? How are you teaching them? When you have struggles, do you try and figure it out by yourself? When you have complications, do you try to find the answer yourself? When you find yourself in dilemmas, do you try and work it out all by yourself? How many times have your children found you on your knees and praying and begging and asking God to come through and asking God to work and asking God to change your life and asking God to be able to come through? Oh my, can I tell you, your children need to see you relying on God, because one day you'll be taken. One day you'll be gone. You hear me quote, of course, David Livingston. I like David Livingston and some of his quotes. You've heard me quote David Livingston many times where he says, only one life will soon be passed.
Only what's done for Christ will last. My dear friend, it's so true. If we're living for today, it's going to come to an end. If we're living for the now, it's going to be dissolved. But you know, we ought to be able to take an old iron and heat it up real good and stamp it deep into the hearts of our children so that our children know that, hey, Daddy lived for God and Daddy loved God and Daddy served God. And it doesn't mean that you're a preacher. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a missionary. I'm just talking about somebody that has a testimony in front of their children. My boys often tell the story. One of my boys told it the other night. And I wrote him a note. I said, you ought to finish the story. And about the age of 9, it was our daughter. And one of the boys told our daughter, said, did you know you're adopted? Oh, my daughter became so emotional and went to one of my other boys and said, yeah, it's true, you're adopted. You don't even look like us. Do you realize you're a girl, we're boys? Oh, she bit off that thing, and she got emotionally stirred, and I didn't know how deeply she was emotionally stirred, but when she came in, I was just playing with her. I didn't know what had come down the chain line there, and I said, oh, yeah, they shouldn't have told you until you're about 16, 17, or 18. Oh, she began to cry. I felt so bad. Oh, I felt so bad. Here's the rest of the story. You don't know how much we asked her to forgive us. You don't know how much we loved on her and how that brought us together, and we realized that words do hurt. Words do damage. See, you don't realize the power of your words as a daddy. You know, watch your words and how they reflect in the child's heart. Now, you listen to me. For some reason, I think that we, and I'm as strong a fundamentalist as the next guy and maybe stronger than most. I want to tell you something. Don't lose your relationship with your wife and don't lose your relationship with your kids because you do not communicate with the heart. Make sure you communicate with the heart. Do you realize that every boy, every girl, every man, and every woman that's in this room has a heart? Do you realize that people's hearts can be hurt and damaged? Do you realize that I said when they were younger, we told them what to do and we gave them Bible truth. But when they became older, and he could testify and the other ones could if they were not working in other ministries this morning. But there came a time in their life when we began to reason with them. We began to talk things through. We wanted to hear their hearts. We wanted to communicate with them. We wanted to get them on good standing ground. Now, I'm saying there has to come a time, stay with me now, there has to come a time when you as an individual, you just decide that you're going to be that individual that learns to lean on God. Learn to trust Him for salvation. Learn to trust Him for your strength. Learn to trust Him for your supply. There was a basketball player, a Christian basketball player many years ago by the name of A.C. Green. A.C. Green said, when I was only making a few dollars a week, he said, I learned to put God first, and I gave God first the tithe. He said, that's when I was working hard and making very little money. He said, now, he said, I'm making a lot of money. He said that the government takes about half my paycheck. He said, then off of that, he said, I have to pay my agents. He said, my basketball agent takes 4% of my paycheck. He said, the endorsement agent takes 20% of my paycheck. He said, by the time I get done, I have very little left. He said, but I still learn to give God of the gross because God deserves first place. Amen. Well, you know, as you put God first in your life, can I tell you, people begin to understand that God is first. Your kids begin to understand that God is first. I'm saying that men ought to learn to lean. Statement number 2, men ought to learn to lead. Lead. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, but I say then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Listen to it in verse 20. Paul speaks up in chapter 2. He says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what's he doing? He's talking here about learning to lead when it comes to the flesh. You know, the Bible says that no flesh seeketh after God. What's that mean, preacher? That means this, that no flesh wants to be spiritual. Did you know it would be easier for you to go to a liberal church this morning? Because you're in a church where from time to time, preacher just might step on your toes, sit in your lap, and spit in your eyeball. And may do it all in one sentence. And so can I tell you, you say, I want to go to a church, preacher, where I'm not going to be offended. Okay, why don't you treat your doctors that way? Why don't you go to a doctor that doesn't tell you the truth? Washes it down. Hey, why don't you go to a dentist that way? No. You know, if somebody really loves you, they're going to tell you how it is. It's not because they think that they're right. It's because they have a Bible. And the Bible's straight. The Bible's right. Well, you know, I disagree with the preacher, which sometimes I do too. But can I tell you, if he's preaching from the Bible, then go back to the Bible. You see, we understand this, that we need to be men. I'm talking about daddies this morning. We need to be daddies that learn to lean on God. We need to be daddies that learn to lead. Lead your flesh. Lead your flesh to come back to church on a Sunday night. Lead your flesh to read your Bible. Lead your flesh to be able to live a godly, peaceable life. Lead your flesh to do what is right and to abstain from that which is wrong. By the way, if you let your flesh lead you, you'll start to drink, you'll start to smoke, you'll start to dope, you'll start to cheat, you'll start to lie, you'll start to deceive, you'll start to live a delusional type of life. But if you let God lead you, you'd be amazed what God could do in your life. I'm saying this. The Bible talks about that men should learn to lead. Lead in your flesh. Lead with your families. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says the husband, listen to it now, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The Bible says about young Samuel, if you will, where there was choices that was made, where Samuel made some choices in his life. By the way, you follow it all the way down the chain line, you'll see that David, that was anointed by Samuel, made some choices in his life. You'll see that others that took the kingship, if you will. You'll see that there were some that made wrong choices and some that made right choices, but it comes down to this, it's choices. It's choices. You make the choice as to how you're going to lead and how you're going to go. I was talking to a young man not too long ago, and I said, now, let me ask you something. What are you going to do with your life? And he said, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I said, well, what do you have as far as maybe a direction? What are you going to do? I mean, come on, talk to me now. You're a young man now. You know, what are some of your ambitions? You know, what are some of the things that get your attention? What is something that you would like to do? I believe you're a good young man. What are some things that you like to do? And he said, preacher, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, if I were you, I'd be faithful to church. I love God. I would begin to investigate certain things and let God be able to get a hold of you and lead you in the vocation that God would have for you in your life. You know, God will show it to you. God's not a secret God. God wants us to please him. You know, but I think sometimes here's what we do. We want to be able to make choices according to that which is the emotionalness of it. And it would be better just to stay still and serve God and let God show you and to make an emotional wrong. You know, I know people get divorces because of emotional decisions. I know children that have trouble with their parents because of emotional decisions. Don't make things based on what others say. There was a man who had a donkey. It's a fable, an old fable from Ireland, but he had a donkey. And he brought that donkey and the boy into the town one night. And all the people began to gossip. Of course, I know none of us know anything about that. But began to gossip and said, now, you know, why is it? What a foolish old man. He's got a donkey, and he and the boy are walking beside the donkey. How foolish is that? So the next time the man came back into town a couple weeks later, he said, okay. He said, I'm going to stop the gossip. I'm going to ride the donkey. And the people of the town said, how cruel is that? He's riding the donkey and he's making the boy walk. Can't believe he's making the boy walk. So the next time, a couple weeks later, we had to visit the town. He said, okay, I'm putting the boy on the donkey and I'll pull the donkey. He said, how stupid is that? You know, the boy is on the donkey and he's teaching the boy to be lazy. Can't believe he's teaching the boy to be lazy. And so he got fed up. And so they say that the next time he came to town, he and the boy was walking, but he was carrying the donkey on his shoulders. Now, can I tell you, look, you don't have to worry about what people say. People's going to say something anyway. It'd be good for you just to get grounded in the Word of God and allow God to show you what to do. And by the way, God will show you what to do. You be faithful to the house of God. You be faithful in serving Jesus Christ, and you'll be amazed how God can begin to even use other people. I asked a guy, a friend of mine many years ago, I said, his name was Bruce, and Bruce worked in the youth department. He was a dentist, and Bruce worked in the youth department with me, and it was pretty good. When I was in Hasbury, Mississippi, I was the youth director, and I had a chiropractor that worked as one of my workers and a teacher, and I had a dentist that worked as one of my teachers in there. And he was one of my helpers. I reached both of these families and got them in church. And Bruce told me one day as I was sitting in his chair, his dentist chair, I said, Bruce, how do you know that this was the will of God for your life? He said, well, when I walked in, he said, I just knew that this is what God wanted me to do. And he said, I've always, and he came from a Church of God background. He wasn't sure that he was saved. And we got that settled. Praise the Lord for that. And he got baptized there at Central. And he became a good soul winner. And he witnessed to people while they were in the dentist chair. And I said, Bruce, he said, you know, he said, they're not going nowhere, preacher. They're not going nowhere. And he said, I've never lost a client. Stay with this now. Bruce said, I've never lost a client because of the way that I talk to them. You see, you can let God use you in the way that you talk to people. You don't have to be harsh. You don't have to be an egghead. Did I say that? You don't have to be an egghead. You can be somebody that's kind. You can take and help people if you want to help people. Come on. You can help your kids. You know, come here. Watch this, okay? Watch this. Come here. Watch this. You know, he's my son, and I go up to him and say, look, that is the stupidest thing that you ever did in your entire life. I can't believe that you did that. Don't you ever do that again. Do you understand? All right, that may not go over too well. What if I did this? Hey, you know, the other day, you and I were spending time together, as we often do, and, you know, you told me something that you did, and, yeah, I don't know. I tell you, I think we ought to talk about that. I think that maybe we could come up with a better plan of being able to do that better a little bit later. And man, I tell you what, I think God will bless you even more for that. Let's talk it through. You want to? That's a whole lot better. You say, that's compromising. I'm not going to lose my kid. Some reason, it's either, we get this idea that some reason we get this in our head, either you got to be extremely hard and you got to really push it up their nose, or you've got to be completely liberal and let everything go. Now I'm going to reason with you. That's wrong. You can be firm and you can show, hey man, you can get people excited. Hey, you want to do this? I got somebody I want to go visit. Man, I need you. Oh, do I need you? Can you come visit them with me? Man, it's going to be good stuff. You want to? You can lead them along. I said, you can lead them along. You know, most teenagers, here's what I find out. You know, most teenagers that are in our church are not bad kids. You know, most of them love the Lord. You know, most of them want to do right, but they've got to have somebody that says, hey, look, man, I know God can use you. Man, it is just so neat to watch God work in your life. Well, I'm so proud of you. Man, I mean that. I've watched you grow up when you were this high and you were this wide. I've watched you. Man, give me five. That is good stuff. You know, a kid would eat that up. But you ought to be able to give it out that way. Oh, you say, well, that's not my personality. Well, then let God use your personality. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that we need to be a group of men, daddies, if you will, that we teach our children to lean on God and to follow God. We teach our children that it's okay to lead and to do what is right. Let me give you the last thing. And then as men, as daddies, we ought to learn to love our families. Love our families. Jared and I went camping. This was our fourth year doing it as a father-son. The other boys have responsibilities and was not able to come, but Jared is, and is their fourth year and going camping. And man, we just enjoyed sitting around the table. We enjoyed walking through the woods. We enjoyed going out to, we cheated. Man, we cheated so many ways on that camp out thing. We went to town and got something to eat. He said, man, why didn't you cook it over the fire? Because I was hungry for good food. You know, and every place we showed up, Brother Yao was there. Now, can I say this? I'm saying that, you know, you be that individual as a dad that you learn to teach your children what true love is. Love is not an emotional pull. Love is an action. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm almost done, verse 1, 3, and then I'll read a couple more. It says this, Paul called, it says, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Listen to it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 22 says this, says if any man love not Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about to let him be called an anathema. Now, what does that mean? That means a departed one. Somebody that's not on the in, but somebody that's on the out. Somebody that doesn't have that relationship. Now, you can be able to help those that need help by extending yourself to them. You know, one thing I love about our church, and I'm just being honest, and I know this is a Sunday morning crowd, and some of you are just visiting, and that's fine, and we love you, and we're glad you're here. But one thing I love about our church is the spirit of our church. Man, I just love the spirit of our church. You know, I love it that we take, and we'll have guys, and man, when I'm preaching along, somebody will holler out, you're stepping on my toes. Well, that's okay. Now, don't everybody say that because, you know, that'd be like quite disturbing. But, you know, we have a church family, to me, that is growing with a good spirit. You know, I preached in churches, and I still do travel out and preach, and I don't always get that good spirit that we got right here. But I think most of the people that's, yes, sitting here in a Sunday morning crowd, you have a heart for God. You want to do something for Jesus Christ. First John chapter 3 and verse 16, last verse I read, it says this. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives, listen to it now, for the brethren. Now that's the ultimate sacrifice, to lay down your life. You know, many years ago that there was a man and he decided he wanted to do right. He wanted to give it his very best and just try to do right. But nobody would accept the right. So one day he was writing in his memoirs there in his diary, his journal. He said this. He said, I've learned to love people for who they are and then try to lead them to be more like Jesus Christ. That is absolutely fantastic. You learn to love somebody for who they are and then lead them to be like Jesus Christ. He continues. But I realized that in order to do this, I need to love them not with an emotional love, because my emotions will get hurt. My feelings will get hurt. But if I love them with the love that God gives, which is an agape love, he said, then I love them with an unhurtable love. How many times do we see this? We see that people get damaged. Here's how they get damaged. They get damaged because of the fact they're looking for an emotional love. when God says, I'm not going to give you an emotional love, I'm going to give you a factual love. There's a big difference. People go to church and they say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to join that church if I feel. What are you talking about, feeling? Hey, and don't forget that there was Jacob and Esau. Don't forget that here you have Jacob, and he puts on, if you will, please, that which is the coat of skin or the fur, the fuzz, if you will. And he goes walking in. And the Bible says that his dad spoke up and he said, well, you have the voice of your brother, but you feel, you have the voice of yourself, Jacob, but you feel like your brother Esau. And what did he do? He made a decision based on feelings, and that's when all the trouble began. You can't do that. You know, in a relationship, well, I feel loved. I feel accepted. I feel like someone cares. I feel good. Well, quit that. You know, you have to understand, if your wife says that she loves you, whether you feel like it or not, she's probably telling you the truth. If your children says, Dad, I'm proud of you. Man, don't try and dig that up. Take it as is. Dad, I'm proud of you. Hey, thank you for that. That's wonderful. Thank you. Go ahead and tell me.
I'm proud of you.
I'm so thankful. That's so good. Now, but don't try and dig it up. You be somebody that, if you will, I told somebody the other day, and they were trying to dig up love. Boy, I just don't feel it. I said, take it at surface. At surface. Somebody says, don't try to investigate it. Yeah, somebody says, man, you look sharp today, son. Don't look at him and say, you really mean that? No, I just say it because, you know, I have nothing else to say. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this. I'm saying learn to love people by action. By action. If you learn to love people by action, I was flying back from the funeral, and there was a guy by the name of Hugh that was sitting beside me. Hugh was flying back to Vietnam. He came over here 15 years ago, became a citizen 10 years ago. He works on the big shipyards down in Mississippi, and he's a welder. We're flying back together from the funeral, and I said, Hugh, man, I'm glad to sit beside you. I said, what an honor. I said, now, let me ask you this. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I said, if you die, do you know you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't know that, but I'm working on it. I said, well, let me help you a little bit as we go. I'm going to show you what you need to understand in the Bible. I'd like to see you in heaven one day. I think it'd be just neat to see you in heaven one day. Let me just show you from the Bible what the Bible has to say. I took out a gospel tract because I didn't have anything else with me. And so I pulled out a gospel tract and I showed Hugh how to receive Christ as Savior. His name is Hugh Turk. And Hugh bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. And then Hugh said this, can you go over that with me again? I'm going to Vietnam. I'd like to see my mother in heaven one day. I said, sure. He said, do you have any more of those pieces of paper? He said, because I've got two brothers, and he named some other siblings. He said, and if you show me, if you take time with me as we travel and show me exactly, even some of the words you used as to how I could show them, he said, I might get to see my brothers in heaven one day. And he was excited about the fact. You know why? Because he loved his family. He cared about his family. He was somebody that said, okay, I want to be able to take this and give it to someone else that needs it as well. Now, can I say God's looking for a few good men? Could you be that good daddy? Could you be the one that puts yourself involved in the family? You know, one of the things that we love to do, and maybe it's old-fashioned, I don't really know, but one thing I love to do about our family is sit around and talk. Yeah, no flat screens on, no people on the iPads, no people playing with their phones. Just sit around and have old-fashioned conversation. You'd be amazed how that will help your family. I'm saying this morning. God's looking for a few good men. Why don't you decide to be that one good man God's looking for? Stand in the gap in your home, in your family, with your marriage, with your children, with others that you come involved with. Father, bless, we do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.